I want you to just look at me a minute. I'm wearing Gant. My aftershave is CK. It's not the one I really like. It was a bit too expensive. It's called Hermes, and it's beautiful. It's about £80 if you want to get me some from Boots and send it to Warwickshire, the Ministry of Hints. But anyway, I'm looking good. I've got some new Levi's on and some really expensive boots. I'm not telling you about my underwear because I don't want to blow your minds, but it's good. Now, why is that important in the purposes of God? Well, let's turn to 1 Samuel and find out. Amen. Now, this is about when Samuel comes to anoint David. And in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" And the pace of life and the superficiality, I mean, I personally hate social media. I just don't do it. Look, God hasn't changed, and friendship, communication operates in the level of superficial nowadays. And we do that at the cost of heart. We do that at the cost of encounter. We do that at the cost of understanding what real relationship is. And I just want to put some things at ease here, because whenever I see Andrea when I come to Taunton, I always think of the song "Morning Has Broken," like the first morning, like all these clothes and outfits, and she had a furry thing on today. You just needed a stroke. It's wonderful. It's good. Now, here's the deal. This isn't saying if God looks at the heart, you can look a tramp, because the outside doesn't matter. That's why I've got Gant on. It's okay not to look like a minger. What's important, more than that, is that when God looks in your heart, there's something beautiful. And you're a beautiful people. You are, because he's chosen you and made you to be like him. Now, it's interesting, a bit later on, when it says that they went out and got David, you know the story. And it's interesting, it didn't say, it said that Samuel had rejected the other brothers based on being chosen from appearance. But it doesn't go on to say David was chosen because he was ugly and dressed poorly. It go down a little bit more and it says in 16:12, it says, "So he sent for David and brought him in. He was ruddy," which means he had healthy, rosy cheeks, "with fine appearance." Now, you're talking to Pastor Dave. "And handsome features." Is there any belief in the church today? Here's a description of me. But David had it good because he had the heart. But he had the Gant as well. Just consider these deep thoughts this morning. I know you normally don't get ministry as deep as this. He had the furry coat. And he had the outward thing. But for David, it was a reflection of the inward thing. I want to go to another scripture. It gets better. 1 Timothy 1. Page 1,000 in my Bible. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18. This is really simple this morning, but I want you to get God's heart for you. God measures things. If you're going to buy a new sofa for your house or something, it pays to measure the gap it's going to fit into before you go shopping. You've got problems if you haven't measured. And I know there's someone else in your church who's like this, but I like things to be level and correct and in order and to match, and things to look like God's hands on them. It's okay. And God measures you and he measures me and he weighs you and me. There's a scripture that says, "A crucible for silver and a furnace for gold, but the Lord weighs the heart. And when you get that, you live above and beyond judgment of man. God's not worried about how many followers you've got on this, that, or the other, or how others are judging you. His measuring mechanism for you is different to what it is for silver and gold. The crucible for silver and a furnace for gold. It says, but the Lord's way of refinement is through the heart. Now, I want to stick with me a minute, because this gets really good. Because God's going to bring some people into freedom. And I don't mean that you're already not in freedom because you're part of a NAF church. It's a freedom that needs to happen for those who are in good churches and whose hearts sink along the way. And God wants to raise the heart again. Because your leadership didn't sink the heart. The course of pursuing God's heart sank the heart in the face of opposition. You'll get this by the end. I can say that because I'm going home afterwards, whether you get it or not, really. Don't need to give too much of it, because no, that's the wrong heart, isn't it? It says, Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies. Listen to that. In keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you might fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and shipwrecked their faith. It's interesting when you read this. If I said to you, what are the two or three main things that would shipwreck your faith? You'd say sin, going off having an affair, turning to drugs and drink, rebelling, leaving the church. But there's something here that says, be careful, when Paul's talking to Timothy, that you don't shipwreck your faith by stopping to believe that which God has promised for you. Wow. Yeah. If you and me stop believing what God has spoken over our lives corporately, individually, we will shipwreck our faith. And some of those cannonballs that come our way to shipwreck our faith are things like disappointment, waiting for the promise to be received, feeling let down, miscommunication. And it's interesting here that Paul's saying, Timothy, I'm not really thinking that you're about to go off and sin and do this, that and the other, but your biggest risk of your faith being shipwrecked is forgetting that which I have promised you. Because if you forget that which I have promised you and spoken, the voice of situation and circumstance in the shallows will become the loudest influence, and you will stop entering into the destiny which I have promised for you. And I'm preaching to myself. That is really where I wanted to place my thank you for Pastor Judith, because as I was preparing this and thinking about the encouragement, where we in ministry for 15, 20 years have had so much come against us, it's almost like she's always brought me back to promise in all the levels of encouragement and inviting me here. The process behind that, whether she's realized or not, is when everyone else has spoken anti what God has said, she's picked me up by the scruff of the neck, spiritually speaking, and placed me back to what the prophecy said. The enemy wants to shipwreck your faith, but Jesus places you back in destiny. And Timothy's biggest warning wasn't going to be the affair or the drunkenness. His biggest risk with a call on his life that would have shipwrecked his faith was this whole area of walking away from that which God had promised. Now, in natural thinking, that's not a bad thing. You're under pressure. It's been tough for you. You've been discouraged. But in God's heavenly heart thinking, he says, that was a promise from me. You will crash your walk with me if you don't hold on to promise. So I want to address this in a slightly different way. When we look at how God measures our heart, and I think God wants to do something in us in a fresh way to encourage you. The Spanish used to build these massive ships. I think they were called galleons. And they were used for war, but also for transporting goods, silk, silver, gold. And in the paper the other day, it said Columbia finds Spanish galleon sunk 300 years ago. And they reckon there's up to £17 billion of treasure on board. What a find. But this is what God began to speak to me. He said, in fact, he spoke to me this before this. I saw this paper thing. He said, Dave, in our Christian lives, we're like these beautiful galleons that are made for a purpose and a destiny. And we're full of treasure. We come to church, we get saved. We're full of the Holy Spirit. We get vision. We get all this other stuff happen. And what happens along the way is through things that are fired at us, we're still that galleon. We're still a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. But we sink to the bottom and our faith is shipwrecked. Now the treasure's still on board. But the problem with a believer whose faith is shipwrecked and they're at the bottom of the ocean, you start to live at a place you were never called to live at. If you listen, I just want to find this psalm quickly just to tie this in. But in, you don't have to turn to this, but in Psalm 42 and verse 7, this is about God's heart. He says, deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. When you're sunken down because of things that have shipwrecked your faith, and you can still be going to church and worshipping and all the rest of it, but you're not quite moving how God wants, and it wasn't your fault you got shot at by another galleon, a situation, a circumstance. I don't know if you've ever watched Jacques Cousteau from years ago, or things where these guys go to the bottom of the ocean and find these wrecks. But when they shine the light into sunken vessels, suddenly an eel or a shark or something will come out from the hole in the side that's been lurking there, and the light has disturbed it. It sat in darkness and rejection and in the place at the bottom of life for so long. Things have been given access to it that shouldn't, and it can no longer respond to how it should be operating. And what God's showing me is that in our hearts, it's so easy when our hearts are sunken and when we're down low, for things like resentments or disappointments to lurk. And they can lurk in places where there's no life, because light's never shone into them. They can lurk in deep places because light never comes forth. If you go to a compromising place, even to worship, some people like to go to places where the truth's not taught or where the Spirit's not moving, because there's no exposure to the light. What does the Bible say the entrance of the Word does? It brings light. So in the deep, calling to deep, God shines his light in. And things that are in there that have only been allowed in because the vessel sunk are lurking. But that galleon was not designed for the things of the deep to lurk in. It was designed to have another function. Now, no analogy is perfect, of course, but when God comes along and he shines his light in, and those things that shouldn't be there come out, in grace and love, he puts those bands of love around that galleon and he raises it back to the surface and he fixes it up, and then the buried treasure can come forth again. He disturbs that which only has entrance because something sunk along the way. If you've ever been diving or something deep enough with an oxygen thing on your back, when you're under the water, all the surface noise drowns out and all you can hear is the breathing. You may be able to hear a few other things, but you can't hear that stuff that's on the surface. Again, on this analogy, though, it's not perfect. When you go into the deep places in God and you allow your heart to be searched out again, is a very still sound under the ocean. The surface noise goes. One of the things that sinks us is surface noise. Voices, opinions, disappointments. You need special equipment to go down deep. And God, by his Spirit, calls to deep. Now again, this analogy is not perfect because it undoes at some point. So I said, we're not worshipping the analogy. But the point I'm making is that prayer is the oxygen on the back of the diver. And it enables you to go into a place and shine stuff in so that stuff can come out. And God can raise up the broken vessel again and it can sail on its way. Hallelujah. And God wants to... When every other voice is silenced, you can hear his voice clearly. The curse of Twitter, the insecurity of Facebook, how many followers have I got? There was someone in our church, and we were talking about how many friends they had. She says, oh, I've lost lots of friends, I've got lots of friends or something. And I'm like, so I never see them. Where are they? Who are they? Well, I've got 20 followers on Facebook. I said, they're not friends. Do you share life? Do you ever go, oh, no, no, we just talk on... That's not a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. A friend goes deep. And a friend stands deep. And a friend... Somehow all this other stuff is telling us relationship is something different to what it is. If we could know the depth of God towards us, we'd be far more secure. When someone on Twitter says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, they're going to stop you following them within 3 weeks. When Jesus says it, he means it in his long term. And I just sense this morning that in some of your hearts, and God just wants to bless you today, that there's treasure that's sunk, not because you were doing anything wrong, but because you were doing something right. You were going along, and then somehow you've been shot at. But instead of allowing that to be repaired and sorted, we need to get rid of the surface noise. I was up in the Isle of Skye. I just missed the floods coming down, actually. It was so windy, I drove back through the Friday night before the flooding happened. There was even lorry on its side I went past. It wasn't because of the way I'd cut him up. But it was a good time. I drove through the night. Actually, incredible weather. But Isle of Skye... But there's no other voices or sound there other than little white things, fluffy things on four legs. But it's just beautiful up there. And just every other voice, when you allow God to go below the surface and heart to heart, every other voice is drowned out. There's too much noise in the sense of the Spirit. And you can't... The subtle trick of the enemy is to make us start assimilating or assessing God's level to how the world communicates today. And we need to break that off our lives. Some of you may need to even give up doing some of these other things, because they're a waste of your attention and time. And I'm not saying you've got to, that'd be law. But what I'm saying is, in my own life, I know there's a God there who's so awesome, magnificent, powerful and deep. He's waiting to reveal and raise treasure from my life. But I need to be listening to the right stuff and looking at the right stuff. I need a heart that, when every other noise below the surface, when every other noise on the surface is drowned out because I'm going down and God's going deep, I'm left with Him and me. Some people are uncomfortable in that place. They don't want Him searching around. But when God searches around, He does it good. He does it in love, and He does it in grace. And even your worst failure and sin and setbacks, He comes and mends it and fixes it up and makes us strong and lets the treasure. You didn't bury the treasure, it went down with you. But the treasure cannot operate, or you find it hard to celebrate. You know you should. You know it's what you were designed for, but you sat on the bottom of things. And this morning, deep calls to deep. God comes with that spotlight. He says, I want to fix you up. He says, I want to raise you up again. I want to raise you back in my grace and my love. I want to fix the patches where things got blown that caused you to sink in the first place. He says, I want you to be able to sail on into destiny and that treasure that went down with you to begin to shine and be bright. Amen. And the wonderful thing about God's treasure, it's worth more than $17 billion. It's worth all of eternity. Jesus died on the cross for that. And He poured out His blood. And sometimes we're not very good at loving other people, and because we just don't get ourselves. It's not we're really unloving, it's just inside we just feel so ugly. Anyone ever felt ugly? Not here, of course, because you train not to. But for me, the enemy is easy to deal with. So I know it's me that's harder to deal with. Because we're all wired so complex. We're all wired with so many voices and things going on around us and influences. But when the Holy Spirit is the biggest influence, God doesn't want to minister to you in the context of you being sunk. He wants to raise you in the context of being sunk and minister to you in the context of going forward. Because otherwise you've always got the conflicting eels and sharks flowing around. You're trying to work the truth in with that. Because the sharks have no right to be there. Those eels and little things that jump out at you. When you're down then everything's quiet and you just hear. That's my impression of the bubbles going up. And then, or you see an old body. You know, and seen any of those films? I love them. We're going to watch one in a minute. Suddenly fall out behind the door that opens. Do you enjoy that? Oh, I thought you were having a film night here. And you'll go. And that's what it's like down there. Because things went down that shouldn't have. And this morning, God wants you to stand again because He loves you. And if you're not secure in His love, it's very hard to love others securely. If you've got all these things swimming around in you, it's really hard to reflect life. And it's really bad trying to be a galleon that knows the truth, but actually just needs a hand to be lifted up. Because a galleon on the seabed can know it was called for purpose. It can know it's meant to be somewhere else. But unless the loving grace of God raises it to be that, you're ministering into defeat all the time. He says, I know that's where I need to be, but right now, just like the man who had to be lowered through the roof to get to Jesus, it took someone else to lower him. And sometimes I need to rise up in faith on my own. Other times I need friends and others to help me stand and position me back so the treasure can come forth again. That both are true. And if you just do one or the other, you either become self-consuming or unreal. I can only love as much as I have a revelation of that love. And I can only exercise grace and be secure to the degree that deep is calling to deep. And I don't try and do my walk with God like a Facebook account. But he's so much more brilliant than that. I mean, I'm telling you, God is just so amazing. He'll go into every corner, every insecurity, every single thing, and he'll bring you out until you know and you're secure enough to know all that matters is that he's going out with your armies. He's on your case. He's with you. He's doing it. So really, that's it, guys. I mean, there isn't anything else other than to let God do a work. And if it's all right with Pastor Jude, if that song we did about We'll Stand, I want to just, if we've got enough musicians here to do that, or some doing children's work. And I just, look, guys, preachers and ministers are often the most insecure people in the world. So I'm not here to promote my ministry or for you to think that was a good sermon. All I care about is that you get God bless you today. I really don't give a rip about anything else. And I mean that. Because God's love for you cost Jesus something. And you didn't put you down on the bottom. Something or someone else did. And you may love the ministry here, and you may love everything that's happening and want to go for Jesus, but you just know there's some raising that needs to happen. So you end this. I just see you coming up. You end this year coming up from the bottom. All those little nidges and things coming out that only had access because it was the galleon was in the wrong place. Some love and grace of God. It's not an emotional thing, though it does touch emotion. God's not cold. There's always faith attached to his ministry. And you go into 2016 doing a Rod Stewart. Anyone know what that is? Come on, someone does. Come on, thank you. Who said that? Come on, clap here. Will you come and sing that with me? Let's start. I am sailing. I am sailing. Home again. Cross the sea. I love that guitar bit that comes after that. He actually did that song around the time there was an aircraft carrier. They made a film, I think he's at, in fact I know it's at the HMS Ark Royal, which is out of commission. Imagine if that had been sunken and Rod Stewart singing that from the bottom of the sea. He wouldn't have been able to sing it, would he? There's no oxygen down there. He could only sing that on the HMS Ark Royal because it was above doing what it should be doing. Can you imagine him singing that with bubbles and oxygen mask? I am drowning, I am drowning. Poor old me. I won't be with you. You won't be with me. Can you hear me? Of course you can't, I'm dead. So I hope that's all right. And I just want you to be really raw. What if we sing that? I just want to pray with people. If that's right with Pastor Judith and that. And for us guys, just to, I'm not going to pray a massive word. Just there's going to be a grace where in your spirit, when I was in the Isle of Skye, I got to a place with God, and I'm at a place with God now. It's just like, God, I can't raise me up. I can't do, there's some decisions I can make that I can do certain choices, but there's some things only the Spirit can do. There's some things in your life. You cannot change you. Only Jesus can change you. We can just cooperate with the process. And sometimes it's like, I mean, I've had to change mindset. So much is like Jesus needs to change me because there's something wrong with me. Going to minister to me. That's not Jesus. There's nothing wrong with you. You're a new creation. You've got treasure on board. There's nothing wrong. He just brings you back to purpose. There may be some behavioural things and other things sometimes, that discipleship thing's fine. But primarily, we can get so down on ourselves, we forget what a joy we are to the Lord.
Amen.
You're his treasure,
yes,
and his treasured possession. Amen. And he doesn't like his treasured possession being sunk.
Yes.
I just want to, my heart was just come just to pray with some people. And just, even some of you may not even want prayer, but for us a church, for us to come forward while we sing this and say, we're going to stand, we're not going to sink. You don't have to come forward. But if you do, I just want to be able to lay hands on you, just impart something that I'm carrying in my heart that's going to enable you to push forward and all that treasure to come forth as the vision goes forward and as your wonderful leaders lead you guys forward into everything that you have. And as you contribute to that process as a born-again, spirit-filled believer. Amen. Because you can only give as much as you are moving in.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith South West, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.